Give another 10 and you can elaborate one more time.
Yeah, duplicity means saying one thing and doing another. You know. So, without guile, I think it's called guile also. Chanting, pretending, you know, some people are chanting professionally just for money, or we're chanting but we're just, you know, for some other reason and just trying to please Krishna. So there would be varying degrees of duplicity. Duplicity just means like diplomacy. Presenting one thing but really it's another thing. Dupe means two things, you know, it's duplicate. So that's, you know, our nature because we're trained up like that and conditioned in duplicity, and especially in most so-called presentations of religion in this day and age, are, you know, crooked, you know. The goal is not to please God. They present the goal of praying or, you know, serving God is to enjoy the material world. So the people that are presenting that, they're cheating people. They may not know it, but... have a dictionary, you can look it up more, but thank you. Any other questions? See if we can bring everything to life a little bit. How many of you?
One question. Lord Chaitanya was doing big fishing in South India, but
yeah.
As far as I know, there is not a lot of Vaishnavas, I mean India Vaishnavas, there in South India. Mostly they are in Bengal.
The Gaudiya Vaishnavas are in Bengal headquarters.
Yes, yes.
But South India is full of Vaishnavas in different sampradayas. The Madhvacharya and the Ramanuja and all that's all South India. So Lord Chaitanya did get everybody at that time chanting, and at that time also there were Buddhists and Shivites and all kinds of things, so he drove all that out, which those people weren't able to do so much. But the tradition still stands strong. Of course now, since the Prabhupada movement has started, there's more and more Gaudiya Vaishnavism in South India also. But the other day, you know, like Lord Chaitanya preached there, he stayed for 4 months with the Venkat Bhatta and discussed with him, you know, why Krishna is better than Narayana and stuff. And they accepted all that, but still, because their tradition and their conditioning, they're Vaishnavas, so they don't accept Lord Chaitanya as Krishna. They accept him as a great saint, most of them. But I think that's changing gradually also. Right? And now, you know, the Lord Chaitanya's movement is spreading all over the world, not only India, but in India also people didn't really know who was Lord Chaitanya in most of India. But Prabhupada established his Gaudiya temples everywhere. People are learning. And even when the Padayatra was touring South India, they'd find places where they were all chanting Hare Krishna. Remote places. And they didn't know where they ever got it from. They'd just been... because it was when Lord Chaitanya came. And then they just carried on and nobody really remembered. Like, and he didn't come with a big... you know, he just went by himself. And he would inspire people to chant. They would see him in ecstasy and then they would start chanting and then they would go back to their village and other people would start chanting. So it's still going on. And but in the major temples and places, you know, they're established in their style. Ramanujis and Narayan worshippers and all that. But that's Krishna. Alright. Any more questions? You look serious. You Yeah. That's why she's thinking seriously about something. Huh? How many have read the Bhagavad Gita here? Yeah? Everybody? If you read the Bhagavad Gita, raise your hand. Even a little bit of it. How many have not read anything? Are you here for the first time? Or?
No.
You read any books?
Yes.
Which one?
Spiritual books.
No, but from our
No, specifically.
And have you read any of our books?
Not yet. I browsed. I intend to.
Huh?
I intend to, but not.
Good. Yeah, give it a try. It's quite interesting. Bhagavad Gita is very basic, spiritual books almost. So you'll find all kinds of books refer to Bhagavad Gita, to some extent, even Buddhist. In Thailand, I heard the monks, when they're very advanced, they study Bhagavad Gita at high levels. They don't let them read it when they're neophytes, I guess. And also some of the Buddhist books say that the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, they know Mahamun. It's called Mahamun in Thai language. Alright. Any other question? Any other comments? Thoughts? Share your experiences.
I have no idea how you met Prabhupada.
I met Prabhupada?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't meet him very much directly. I met devotees. Well, the first time I saw devotees, I didn't pay that much attention to them. Just it was in the middle of a big rock festival, and there was a very small group of devotees chanting, and I just said, well, they're really into that. Didn't hear much else from them. Was more interested in Chuck Berry and the Paul Butterfield blues band. But the devotees, there was a very small thing over in the corner somewhere. They were giving out prasad, but I wasn't fortunate enough to even go get it. Then later, I was trying to study yoga, and the teacher, who didn't know my body, but he had pictures of Krishna, so I got interested. He also, in the Radhakrishna Temple album, on the radio they were playing Govinda Madhupurusham all the time, where I lived. They didn't play the Hare Krishna though. Somehow or other in America, that the Maha Mantra didn't get released. Some kind of hassle with the recording companies and the money. In England, it was a number one hit. In so many countries, it was a number one hit. In America, it never got released. But it did come out once you bought the record. So the yoga teacher played that one time. And we'd always hear, that was George Harrison with the Radhakrishna Temple in London. Govinda Madhupurusham. Then My Sweet Lord came out. And I was thinking, yeah, something's here. And then I saw devotees. They were one devotee was chanting out in the street. Just one. And then later in the afternoon, another one, a different one. So I was very much attracted. And the next day, I tried to meet them, and I didn't meet them. And then I went to the Sunday feast. And those days, the preaching was, you stupid, what are you doing? You're wasting your life. When are you going to join us? You're a fool. What are you doing? God, what a waste. You got to join right away. So we did. And got Prabhupada's books. Started reading. And that's how we met Prabhupada. The books. So I never really... And Prabhupada, when I stayed in L.A., he would spend a lot of time there, so at least we had morning walks sometimes, and we had the class every day, and But mostly Prabhupada was, you know, it was to leave him alone. Nobody dropped in on him, except a few leaders, a certain time of day. But Prabhupada is, you know, we heard all the time, he said, my books are better than I am. So there are many reasons for that, and because the books are always there, even after he's physically gone from the planet, the books are still there. Also, you can access the book anytime. And he also said that he put his best time, his best of himself into the books. The early morning hours at Brahma Muhurta hours, and his early spiritual time is when he was translating the books. So his best time when he was totally absorbed in Krishna and Krishna Katha was when he put into the books. So fortunately, we all still have that. If we had the opportunity to personally be with Prabhupada, that was wonderful also. And he was very kind to live with us for so many years, very intimately. One time I was actually introduced to him. One time I met him and when I got the Gayatri Mantra. So I went up and I was very nervous. And Prabhupada asked me, how many are waiting downstairs? And I told him. Then he said, there's one Indian boy? And he was all excited. You know, and I had ever served Damodar Maharaj. But I didn't know him. You know, he just came in the morning and left. He was a student. So I never met him, and we just saw him come and go, you know. And I said, I think he's Japanese. He looked, he was more Japanese than Indian. You know. The money for it. The Chinese was disappointed. That was another time I was introduced, and he was very busy, and he just kind of looked up and went, oh, no. But otherwise, Prabhupada was, he gave himself completely in his books. He was always around. He came to so many festivals, joined in. And when he was in LA, they would arrange that everybody could go at least once on the walk or something. In the night in the garden, Prabhupada would sit. That was very relaxed and nice. He loved that little garden they have in LA. It's still there. He would go in there early and chant, and then later he'd have devotees in there and just read Krishna book. And he loved to hear that Krishna book. There was a little pond or a little fountain thing. They were reading about the Dravida gorilla. And Dravida gorilla said he would go to the shore and he would start, you know, and he would make big waves come. You know, he's so powerful. So Prabhupada stopped, he was smiling. He said, just like we can stir up this water. He said, oh, shit. So, like that. But that everybody has this, and you know, Prabhupada put so much into his books so everyone can associate by reading his purports. He said those are his personal ecstasies. So if you really want, anybody can associate with Prabhupada in that way and get lined up and understand, you know, what his mission is and how it's carrying on and how we can all be part of it. And by, especially by reading the books, so everyone has to hear and hear about Krishna from the proper source, and then by giving this to others, sharing it, then Prabhupada is right there all the time. Krishna is also right there. Is that right?
That's good.
Yeah. You know, unlimited time just watched.
Explain why you distribute books, Maharaj.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure, but one thing is very pleasurable experience, very purifying. And Prabhupada stressed it so much. Ever since I went to the temple, they were saying how much Prabhupada wanted to distribute these books, but at that time, nobody was distributing them. They more or less thought it was impossible. And just if somebody came to the temple, and we had one boy that was supposed to be the senior devotee, and they would let him try. I even remember one time I was at the temple and no one was there and some guests came. So I was very new. I didn't know anything. So I finally just said, well, we've got these books. And they bought a bunch of books. So I asked the temple visitor, can I go out? And, no, you can't do that. No, only so-and-so can do it. But then somebody distributed some big books and different devotees started trying it. So Prabhupada wrote so many letters at that time. That was like 1972, 73, 74. Just encouraging book distribution like anything. One of the first things that got me was one letter said, these boys and girls who are dedicating their life to distributing my books, they should get first class prasadam and they should get extra sleep. I thought, yeah, I want to do that. But once you do it, you get that taste. It's very pleasing to Krishna. I told you, I was thinking the other day, it's very cold and, you know, it's not like the most pleasant environment standing out on Oxford Street in the cold wind and having most people ignore you or something. But because Krishna likes it, it's very pleasurable. You get connected with Krishna. As Lord Nityananda, that's what he did. Lord Chaitanya sent him out every day, you know, and he went door to door, and that's what he did. His whole life. And when I got initiated, Prabhupada said Kavi Chandra was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. So I thought I better distribute books. And somehow or other, I've tried, you know, I don't do it all the time, but I try to encourage others. So Prabhupada pushed us like that. He wrote so many letters, you can go back if you look at the letters, and, you know, and so many purports in the books, and so many times he's stressing on that. So it's the way to contact people. It's the way to, you know, spread Krishna consciousness, because we talk to someone for a few minutes, but they go away. But if they have the book, even they're saying, I won't read it, I won't read it, I won't read it, but they will. If they have it. If they don't have it, for sure they won't read it. And so we tell them, even if you don't read it, it's good for you. It's good to have it, which is true. It's auspicious. They'll probably see it. We have many stories of people that they got the book and for 20 years they never read it. And then they read it and joined, you know, Brad. One fellow, he's an Indian and he's a businessman. And he had the Bhagavad Gita and for 20 years he never read it, but and somehow he kept it. He moved and different things, but he always kept it. Mm. And his life went really bad. He became alcoholic and his business partner was suing him or something and his wife was leaving him and he was going to suicide. The true story. He had a glass of poison or something and he sat down and the Bhagavad Gita was on the shelf in Indian. And somehow he thought the Bhagavad Gita is about all this, you know, turmoil and everything, the Bhagavad and the Mahabharata. So he started reading it. And he just got absorbed and he forgot all about, you know. And he just read it and read it and read it and stopped drinking and, you know, everything worked out. Went to the temple, you know, became a devotee. But after 20 years. So, you know, we have to understand that not everybody immediately, you know, comes up. Something's going to be next lifetime, but it's always something good. And any book distributed is pleasing to Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, and therefore it's nice to do. It's also good for, in any tradition, ashram tradition, people go out begging. Brahmacharis, Buddhist monks, Christian monks. And it's not to get money. It's a part of the sadhana. Because you have to develop tolerance, humility, perseverance, you know, right? People insult you, people praise you, you have to become a little neutral. The Buddhist monks in Japan, they have a hat that comes out like this, and they hold a bowl out like this, so that they can't see the top of the bowl. They can't see the people that give donations. they ring their bell and they chant sutras. And then when people give, they just, you know. So they won't think, oh, this one gave a lot, this one's good, this one's not good. And some, they won't, most, many people just push them. If they go door to door, of course, even Lord Nityananda, some people chased him away. Get out of here, you Vaishnavas are ruining everything, you're totally inauspicious, you're ruining the economy, they say everything. So he would just beg them and roll on the ground and cry and everything until they would chant. Sometimes they physically chased him away, beat him up, then he kept crying anyway. So that's our mission. Some sort of helping the book distributing or doing it or chanting publicly, giving out the holy name and reading the book. If you read them, you'll want to give them to others. Alright? Someone just gave me 200. I thought it would go.
Huh? I'm not sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have forwarded it for a phone call. We hear it from source.
Oh, good.
Today.
Yeah. Alright. Any other questions? You? You. What are you doing here? Why are you here?
Sorry?
Why are you here?
Why
aren't you out on Camden Street having a good time? Huh? Why aren't you at a pub? When you're a nice looking young girl, I'm sure you could find a boyfriend that would take you out drinking and everything. Why did you come here?
I think because it's something much more better.
Okay. What are you finding so good about it?
Sorry?
What do you find so good about it? You're always at the temple every day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I think...
You're sorry that you go to the temple?
Yeah. It's personal.
Huh?
It's very personal. I'm, because of devotees, I like devotees, the relationship with Krishna.
Alright. So you're experiencing some sort of happiness, right?
Yeah.
Alright?
Mm-hmm.
Good. It'll just get better and better the more you get into it. Just keep trying.
Maybe I have one question.
Alright.
I would like to ask how it's possible if in Vaikuntha there's everything perfect and everybody loves each other and we love Krishna, Krishna loves us, why we turn back and we want to leave Krishna? Does that mean that we become angry on him, that he wants to be like him?
No, because as soon as you get envious, you're not in Vaikuntha anymore. It's called free will. And Prabhupada gave example. He said, just like servants sometimes might think, well, I'd like to be the master. I'm tired of being a servant. So he gave that example that Krishna is independent, so he's given us free will. Therefore, if we love Krishna and want to serve him, it has value. If there's no choice, then it has no value. So sometimes a living being misuses that free will and thinks, well, why let me be the center, let me be the enjoyer. Why only Krishna? And then we are in the material world. That's the difference. So some people can't understand that, and they'll say, well, like maybe Vaikuntha is not all that good anyway, then why bother to try to go back? Right? But that's just another trick of the mind and of Krishna and Maya. Well, if it was so good, then I wouldn't have left in the first place. So. Yeah. But we don't want to admit that we were fools. Prabhupada gave different examples. He even said one time, just like people join this movement, but then they leave. You know, they come and everything's nice, they're chanting Hare Krishna, everything's taken care of, but then they think, well, no, because they have some marijuana, and, you know, I better go to the movies every day or something, I can't do this anymore. Huh? Maya tells them. We just heard the lecture the other day, Prabhupada, in the morning. And when you try to come to Krishna, then the Maya tells you, no, you don't want to go to the temple. They have so many rules and regulations, and you know there's no freedom there. You know, they're not going to love you. They're going to just tell you to love Krishna and at all. And, you know, Maya's telling us these things all the time. So somehow that happens. Vaikuntha is fine, but when someone, that somehow that envy happens and they're not in Vaikuntha, they don't want to stay there and go on. And we go back, you don't remember, and everything's nice, and Krishna welcomes you right back. He doesn't say, you're stupid, you know, why did you leave? He's very happy to see anyone come back. And
try and aim.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not like you come back all crippled up or anything. You go back and it's immediately total absorbed in Krishna. Of course, to get back, we have to already be practicing. And even in the, even here, if we get totally absorbed in service to Krishna, then that's Vaikuntha. That's the mentality. All right? You have a question back there in the chair? I see you writing and everything. That's it. You writing your questions or are you just taking notes?
I'm here.
You have a question?
I have lots of questions.
Oh, well. Can we try one?
How do you help somebody to come to Krishna?
Well, the best way is to pray for the Krishna to have mercy on them. And then we do things to try to attract them, like free food, kirtan.
Somebody who is not here.
Yeah.
My sister, and I only have the phone.
Yeah. Well, you can just tell her how happy you are, you know, that you found something that makes you really happy. And share it. Send her some books and prasadam. Where is she?
She's not in this country, and I...
Where is she? Where is she?
She's in France at the moment.
France?
Yeah.
Where?
In Normandy.
I don't know if there's any devotees there. There's a lot of devotees in France, but... Yeah. So maybe you can find, we'll try to find out if there's devotees somewhere that she can visit.
She could order the books if she wanted to, but she rejects things which she thinks are the religion.
Pray for her. Send her some books. Does she read English?
But she knows French.
French is better. Well, you have to order some French books and send to her.
So if I just pray for her, this will help.
That will help, yeah. Krishna is influenced by that.
I am.
That's the most powerful thing. If we don't pray for someone, then no matter what else we do, it won't work. Right? No matter what technique we use and what thing we set up, and if we're not praying and really begging Krishna to help people, then nothing will really work. If we really want to change their heart, we have to pray to Krishna to do it.
I want to ask something else.
All right.
I'm new in this, and my questions may seem
that's good.
May seem silly.
Very good.
But we have to do these rounds 16 times a day. So if it takes me 15 minutes, this would mean...
4 hours.
No, but it would mean once every hour for 16 hours. So once every hour.
One round takes 15 minutes.
About, yeah.
Then you need to practice a little bit. That's a little slow. That's like real slow.
Yeah.
Now they're different. Some, if we're going Hare Krishna, then it will take 15 minutes. If we're going Hare Krishna, it will also take 15 minutes. 15 minutes. At least. But if you're doing it, you know, carefully, Hare Krishna, then it's very attentive and good. And you'll gradually get faster.
This is what I'm doing. I'm not just saying it, I'm chanting. So it takes time.
Yeah, well, then gradually you'll get faster.
And is it the same effect?
Yeah. The point is to be attentive, to hear it. Doesn't matter how long. I mean, if you're chanting longer, that's so nice. As long as you're hearing it attentively. Yes, sir.
I struggle with the concept of falling, of loving Krishna and then not loving him. I struggle with that transition from loving Krishna and then being in a situation where I don't love him, I don't understand who he is. And the transition from loving Krishna, knowing who he is, knowing my relationship with him, and then somehow forgetting who he is, not loving him, I guess my relationship with him, I struggle with that transition.
Yeah, we all are.
It doesn't seem to make sense to you. Materially, even a strong relationship is difficult to break. The description that was in the book, in Prabhupada's books, of the strength of the relationship and the spiritual relationship seems impossible to break. So.
No one else can break it. But the living entity can sometimes forget. That's what Maya is. So we've been forgetful for a long time, so in the process, you know, we go up and down. But as we continue to practice and associate with devotees, chant, hear about Krishna, then we can transfer our attachments that we have for so many other things to Krishna. Understand it's all coming from Krishna anyway. Right? That's what, you know, people, they want so many things. Right? They're crazy, and we go out and just watch them in the street, you know, they're looking at all the shops and just they don't know what they want, and then they know they can't buy most of the things they want. Most people, the people that can buy everything they want, go really crazy, because they just, you know, they just become totally insane
with greed.
Yeah, we are just spending money, you know. One devotee that's a businessman, he was talking about the rich people in America now. And he told that one guy, he lives in Miami, Florida, and he had his butler take the private jet to New York just to get one bottle of wine. It costs like $40,000.
What about the environment?
Just to go get it, you know, private jet to get one bottle of wine. And they have so much, you know, so they just go completely mad. And if we ask them, you know, read the Bhagavad Gita, I'm all right. You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. What do you need the bottle of wine then if you're so all right?
Sure.
But then they can brag, and that bottle of wine might have cost them $100,000. You know, right? Because it's supposed to be some special wine. So. Hopefully we don't have that kind of attachments, you know. We don't want to do things like that. Everything is coming from Krishna, and everybody really wants pleasure. Whatever they do, they're thinking that this will give me pleasure. That's why they do it. This will make me happy. If you write down all the things you want, you know, and just go over, and it's all just that you think somehow this is what will make me happy. Gradually one realizes that only Krishna can make you happy, and whatever it is that you want or you're going to get or is coming from Krishna. He's providing everything. And all we really need is air and water and sunlight and, you know, and then the earth and the food grows and we can eat, enjoy, be happy. Materially, Krishna's providing everything that everybody wants, the ingredients for everything that they want. And they should think more about what they need. What do we need? What does the soul need? Krishna, our soul. And the soul can't be, he doesn't get hungry, he doesn't, can't get cold, can't get hot, can't get killed. It just needs Krishna. So if we're identifying with the body, then we're afraid of death, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're angry, lusty. There's a body that keeps going through all these changes all the time. So as long as we're identifying with it, and the whole world is trying to get everybody to... The body shop has a club now you can join, and you get 10% discount. It's called Love Your Body. You get a card. Love Your Body. And then you're a member. So I'm sure that everybody that comes, they ask them, how do you love your body?
How is your body?
So they know your body. But then nobody thinks, who am I? But they do say, your body, my body, right? Prabhupada went, in early days, he went to one school, not more than junior high school, might have been elementary school. And he asked for one intelligent boy, so they brought up somebody. And Prabhupada was asking him, what is this? He says, that's my hand, and what's this? My arm, this is my leg. And he was thinking, what is this? It's, you know, this doesn't require any intelligence. So after, you know, Prabhupada said, and who are you? Where are you? The my, where are they? Then he proceeded to talk about the soul. So they do say your body, love your body. Even in Japan, I saw some fashion shop, and it was called Love Your Body. loveyourbody.com. You can look it up. Just cheap clothes. Your body. They don't say I body. You know, the body is them, but they act like it is. You know, if you hurt your hand, you say, oh my, you know, you hurt me. Children will say. Someone more mature will say, I hurt my hand. Then who are you? That's what we're trying to teach people. In other words, they don't know. One guy today, I was, you know, I showed him the sofa. Most people wouldn't talk to me, but this guy, a few minutes. He said, I am self-realized. I already am. I said, well, who are you? I'm me. You're you. I'm self-realized. I'm me. Or, what do you mean, you know? Then he just said, you know, I don't want to talk anymore. That's too hard of a question. I'm all right, you know, I'm fine. Very good, though. So, you know, Krishna is natural, and we have that love, and it just has to be turned towards Krishna. So as we get to know Krishna, then we actually get to know Krishna, see Krishna, serve Krishna, be with people who serve Krishna, then we develop more and more attachment for Krishna. The process is there. That's why we have communities. That's why we come together. We have meetings. Trying to share with everybody. And people get attached. Like Prasadam, Vishnu Prabhu, he was out distributing books in the M1 at those parking places, you know, service places. So one truck was a guy sitting in there, and he was eating a big burger, and he was reading a porno magazine or something. And he went up to him, and he gave him the higher taste. And then the guy said, he told him that, he said, I was homeless, and for 3 years I was eating at Camden every day. The Hare Krishnas were feeding me, and he said, it changed me. He said, I got off the street, I stopped drugs, now I have a job. You realize that the prasadam just did it, you know. He's eating prasadam every day, and he's thinking, well, the Hare Krishnas are nice, they give me food. And it is, it's a good, even on a, you know, drugged out, crazy fish. And there's many, many like that around here. So then he told them, now you should get a better books to read. To give up that book also. Still trying to enjoy, but at least, you know, he elevated just by prasadam, so that's a very, very powerful way to get, like your sister, you can send her prasadam, some kind of sweets or something. Most people will take that. Especially if you don't tell him that it's spiritual. You just give it to him.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get scared, you know, you're trying to... They used to tell, Christians would say, don't take that Hare Krishna food, you know, they put something in it. And we went to the dentist, he's a devotee the other day, and we gave some sweets, and he gave it to some of the girls that work there, and they were saying, oh, what is the ingredient in this, what is it, you know. He said he wanted to tell him it's Krishna, but he didn't. I said, just tell him it's love. You know, so that's a known thing. Even just around the corner from the temple now, there's, you know, there's that Eat, real food, and then there's a Coffee Republic, and there's a new restaurant called the Food Lab. And the big company is called Food for Mood, or Mood for Food. And they have a big sign that says everything is prepared with love, and love is the most important ingredient in our food.
Mm-hmm.
So they understand that. But what kind of love, you know, can a restaurant, chain restaurant, have? You know,
they
love the
money.
They love the money that they'll get if they're like
that. How much love do you want?
I don't know if they still have little family restaurants. Like in Japan, there's still a lot of very small restaurants. You know, some lady is cooking, and people just like that. It's like their mother, you know. They go there all the time to get, you know, attention. Somebody really loves the customers and stuff. Your best food is supposed to be your mother's cooking. And the second best is the wife's cooking. But see, nowadays the wife doesn't cook in many, many cases. And so the marriages, that's one major factor why marriages don't last. Like Indian families, much more the wife cooks. But that's ending also, because they're both working. Fast food becomes like the fashion. You go out to eat, you know. And then the man, you know, he's thinking, well, I don't need this wife. The wife doesn't have any relationship, you know, because the other intimacies don't last that long. But traditionally, always, you know, America, I saw on the television one time, it was an ad, it said, October 24th is National Family Day. And it said, eat dinner together once a year. Be a family. I know. Really get together. Celebrate, you know. So what, you know, obviously, that's not an ordinary thing. The mother's working, you know. They work odd hours. The kids are coming in and out at all odd times. They don't get together. They don't have a chance. So we try to eat together, take prasadam. Cook with love for Krishna, but that means love for everyone. Because when we're cooking for mass distribution, there's some love there. We care about these people, want to help them. It's not like such an easy thing to do, right? It's much easier just to cook for yourself. All right, any other questions? And we see, anyway, like the way that all this bhoga that he's getting. You see, it's so wasteful, the society. I mean, they fly this food in from Africa. It's a tremendous amount of energy, right? And then it all gets wrapped up in plastic. So much work. And then they give away, either, you know, unfortunately, they're giving it to us instead of throwing it away. You know, and it just keeps coming, and then there's so many people in the world don't get anything. But fortunately for us, and we can afford to feed lots of people very nicely. So, you know, Kali Yuga is crazy, but Krishna uses it to help us so that we can distribute more and more. So, is that enough? Thank you very much. Please read Bhagavad Gita if you have read it. Read it again and again and again. And also Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially read about Lord Chaitanya. Chant Hare Krishna. We have three Gornitai here now. And we have Shingadeva in the middle.
Huh? Those are the same deities.
Yeah, those are the ones that travel on.